तस्मै श्री इन द लास्ट सेशंस वी ब्रीफली डिस्कस्ड अबाउट द इम्पोर्टेंस ऑफ ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ लाइफ हाउ इट इज डिफरेंट फ्रॉम द एनिमल लाइफ ऑफ जस्ट ईटिंग स्लीपिंग मेटिंग एंड डिफेंडिंग हाउ इट्स मेंट फॉर फाइंडिंग द कॉज ऑफ सफरिंग एंड द डेस्टिनेशन ऑफ लाइफ How mere technological advancement cannot give this relief from the miseries and liberation from suffering, and therefore human form of life is to inquire about permanent relief from all miseries, permanent solution to all problems. But then we also found out that if we have to go to the root of the problem, to solve any problem, we have to go to the root, and therefore that requires knowledge. We were discussing what God is, the original source of everything, ultimate source, supreme controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. And to know that, we have to have knowledge. There are three ways of acquiring: the pratyaksha praman, or knowledge acquired by direct sense perception, and anuman, by inference. But they have their limitations, and therefore we have to take shelter of the shabda praman, or authority of, or hearing from authority, word of authority, and that are the Vedas. Original and infallible knowledge, which have stood the test of time, not only have never been proved to be false, but have been able to predict future things perfectly. And we also discussed about how the Vedas are a body of knowledge that applies to all people at all times under all circumstances. And they must be received in an unbroken chain where the principle of the message is carried, and a thorough understanding of which helps us to apply the details according to time, place, and circumstances. And finally, we concluded that the essence of Vedic scriptures very mercifully has been presented for people of Kali Yuga, where our practically everything, the essence of everything, is degradation. There is degradation in every aspect of life. Knowing that the essence has been presented in the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, the elaboration of which is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we did all this exercise simply because we want to know what is the cause of all causes. Is there anything that exists like that? And why do we want to know? Because once we know who that person is, we can catch him and say, why did you create like this? Why you created problem? Why didn't you create a world where there are no birth, old age, disease, death? That's our main purpose, to do all this research. So according to the essence of Vedas, let's try to understand what the Bhagavad Gita says about who the cause of all causes, the supreme controller, proprietor, and enjoyer is. It's very important, especially in India. In India, at least I can tell from my own experience, people have so many gods. In fact, practically in every home, one wall, top to bottom, left to right, is full of gods. And you really are confused who is who in this universal government. And then, early morning you want to do some aarti. You have less time. And then you wonder what's to be done. What if I do to this person and he may get angry, and ultimately if I do to he may get angry. Ultimately you say, okay, everyone be satisfied. Because I have to catch the 6:21 Virar fast. I can't do everyone to everything. In fact, one lady, she approached me after one program and she said, my daughter told me, Mama, why can't you be faithful to one God? Every Monday you go to someone, every Tuesday I see you going to someone, every day of the week you have one God. Why don't you be very fixed up to one? Be faithful to one. And she was very upset. But she couldn't reply. She said, no, everything is one. She said, if everything is one, focus on one. And she was a little confused. And she asked me, what should I tell her? I said, you attend the Gita course, you will know what to tell her. So this is a very big problem, especially in India. In fact, people tell, in other religion, no problem. There's only one God. You have a supermarket of gods. You know, for every day of the week you have one, for every month there is one special, full year of festivals. That's the only advantage. So let's try to understand what does the Gita says about who actually the original cause of all causes, controller, proprietor and enjoyer is. Yeah. Go ahead. It goes back. You'll have to start it from there, sir. So you get triple revision of the 2 days. So according to Bhagavad Gita, it is said that cause of all causes, supreme controller, proprietor and enjoyer is none other than the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna. Now this may be a little too difficult to digest for you. Till now everything was logical, everything was systematic, everything was scientific. All of a sudden there is a shock. You have to make a leap of faith. Because now what we are going to, from today onwards, what we are going to discuss is exclusively based on scriptures, which are axiomatic truth, and we just have to depend upon it. So the Bhagavad Gita says as to who is the cause of all causes. In the 10th chapter, 8th verse, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhavah. Everything originates from me. Mattah sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. Iti matva bhajante mam. One who worships me with this understanding, Buddha, he is very intelligent, bhava samanvitaha. and he can achieve the ultimate perfection of life, self-realization. And elsewhere he says, somebody may say, there may be somebody above him or equal to him. He says, Mattah parataram na anyad kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Mattah parataram na anyad kinchidasti. Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me, above me. Mai sarvamidam protam. Everything is dependent on me or connected with me as pearls are strung on a thread. If you pull away the thread, everything falls apart. So everything that you see is happening, moving around. It's because I am the connecting thing, underlying everything. We are talking about the controller, proprietor, and enjoyer. Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokam maheshwaram sahridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichati. If anyone wants to find peace, then he must understand three things. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. I am the supreme enjoyer of every activity. Why? Why am I bhokta? Sarva lokam maheshwaram. Ishwara means controller. Maheshwara means supreme controller of the planet Earth. No, sarva loka, of everything that exists, all the planets in this universe. Sarva loka maheshwaram. And sahridam sarva bhutanam. I am the only well-wishing friend of every living entity. One who knows this and stops trying to become himself the controller, enjoyer, and proprietor will become happy and will find peace, the ultimate peace. So in this way, in this, for those of you who are interested, I have given the references. We will be distributing the notes which will contain whatever is written here. So you need not copy this down. But any other information you would like to take down, you can jot down. But whatever is presented here will be given to you. So no one is equal or above him, that he establishes. Next. He is the original source of everything. We already discussed. Next. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. It's very interesting. When Arjun speaks, Vyasadeva writes, Arjuna Uvacha. When Dhritarashtra speaks, he says, Dhritarashtra Uvacha. But when Krishna speaks, he says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. You must have noticed that. Why doesn't he say, Krishna Uvacha? Because if he says, Krishna Uvacha, we may think him to be an ordinary person and may not take his message seriously. If someone says, Atal Bihari Uvacha, those who are not well versed with politics, they think maybe some Bihari, who knows. But if you say Sri Prime Minister Uvacha, oh, acha. Because he carries a lot of weight. Any sentence that he makes carries a lot of weight. And therefore, immediately people will be very receptive and understand that whatever this person speaks is the law. That is a law. It's going to hold good for the whole country. Similarly, when Vyasadevas, who compiled Mahabharata, the part of which is Bhagavad Gita in the Bhishma Parva, 18 chapters, when he writes, when Krishna speaks, he says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Now, why does he use this word Bhagavan? Unfortunately, today, so many people attach the title to themselves as Bhagavan so and so, making this title so cheap. But really, what is the meaning of this Bhagavan? Let's try to understand. Van means one who possesses. vidyavan, gunavan, balavan, dhanavan. But what is Bhagavan? Bhaga means opulences, and van means one who possesses. What are the opulences that the Supreme Lord possesses? That is described in the scriptures. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasha shriyah jnana vairagyayoschaiva shannam bhaga itingana. That there are six opulences that is found in God, which partly may be found to a very little degree for some time in us. Aishwaryasya. God is all wealth. He is the richest person. Viryasya. He is the most powerful person. Yasha. He is the most famous personality. Shriyaha. He is the most beautiful personality. Jnana. He is the most knowledgeable. And Vairagya. Even though he possesses all of this, he is totally renounced from everything. Now, looking around, we may find somebody may be very wealthy, but nobody can be all wealthy. They may own little few factories, they may be industrial magnate, they may be own a big place. But no one can say, I own the whole Bombay. I own the whole India. God is the richest because he owns everything. Everything that exists is his property. Therefore, he is the wealthiest person. And even if somebody is wealthy, there is no guarantee he will be wealthy for some more time. Tomorrow he may be on the streets. From crorepati he may become roadpati. In a day. Or sometimes in 2-3 generations finished. All the wealth is finished. Viryasa. Somebody may be very powerful. I am the greatest, Cassius Clay said. Muhammad Ali. But later he developed Parkinson's disease. He couldn't even lift a weight. Can't walk without help. Where is that power gone? Yasha, somebody may be very famous today and tomorrow there is match fixing and he becomes the most infamous personality. People put a garland of shoes around him. Shriya, somebody may be very beautiful. How many years? Then the beauty starts shrinking. Gone is the beauty, fleeting beauty of this material world. Somebody may be very knowledgeable. But does he know everything about every subject? No. They may be expert in one subject to some extent. And tomorrow somebody else will come and defeat that argument. And Vairagya. Somebody may be very renounced. But what is renunciation? What do you have to renounce? We don't possess anything. We were born naked, we died naked. In between we possess something. What is there to renounce? Therefore we find that no one possesses all the six. Somebody may be very beautiful, but not very powerful. Somebody may be powerful, but not very wealthy. Somebody may be wealthy, but not very renounced. Somebody may be very, very renounced, but not very famous. But God, by definition, is he who possesses all of these six opulences to an unlimited degree, eternally, for all time to come. This, anyone who possesses, can be called God, can be called Bhagavan. Otherwise, anyone who claims himself to be Bhagavan so and so is simply a bogus cheat. This is Bhagwan. And when Krishna descended, he exhibited all of these qualities
to the fullest extent. We will discuss that later. So this is Bhagavan, all opulent. Next. We find his knowledge. Right? He spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra in 1.5 hours. But since time, you know, since 5,000 years, all great philosophers, great thinkers have been diving deep into the Bhagavad Gita and still not found the width and the depth of this knowledge. Not one statement of the Gita has been proved false. No one amendment has been added. And Krishna did not prepare. Previous night he did not prepare. Rehearse. I'm going to speak like this. I will stand on the chariot. Offhand, Arjuna on the battlefield suddenly got bewildered and Krishna casually spoke the Bhagavad Gita without any preparation for just 1.5 hours. And thousands of years later, all of us are taking shelter. This is a tiny sample of his profound knowledge. No other knowledge has stood the test of time for 5,000 years. In this way, all the opulences the Lord exhibited to the fullest degree during his time. We already discussed how he is the supreme proprietor, controller, enjoyer, and well-wisher. Next. Yeah. No, 1 minute. Now somebody may ask, we understand that God is everywhere. But you say is Krishna. Krishna was born 5,000 years ago, 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi in one village, and he herded some cows. And he left also. And you say he is God. That way so many cowherd men have come. But how can you say that God is everywhere? God is like the sun, situated in one place. But through the sunshine, the sun is all pervading. The sunlight pervades all over the universe. Similarly, Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuto. The Lord is situated in his own abode, but through his energy, he is spread all over. Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad. Oh, you say God is everywhere. Is he in this pillar? Yes. Prahlad was so confident, he said yes. And Hiranyakashipu broke the pillar, and sure enough, Lord Narsingadev appeared to prove the word of his devotee right. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He is situated in every atomic part. Sorry. He is situated in every atomic particle. Otherwise, how is it that the electrons are going around the protons? What is the energy that is driving them? In every particle within this creation, the Lord exists through his energy. But simultaneously, he is situated in his own place. A gross example. The Prime Minister is situated in Delhi, in the Parliament House. But one order of his, all over India, is applied. Whatever he passes the law applies to whole state. Because God is the supreme controller of whole creation, whatever he speaks, everything applies all over the universe. So through his energy, he is all pervading. Now, this is a very interesting, especially in India, as I have discussed. If you say Krishna is God, what about so many other gods whom people worship, have been worshipping from long time? So let us try to understand this. Can you go to the next one? Next. Yeah. This is very important to be understood. what is the difference between God or Bhagavan and the demigods or Devata? There are two names that are used. One is Bhagavan, the supreme possessor of all opulences. Then there are Devatas. Devatas means representatives of the God to run the affairs of this material universe. Just like there is a prime minister and there are so many members of parliament. They run the affairs of local, and the prime minister is the supreme controller there, up there. So that is the difference between God and the Devatas. We will discuss in brief what is the difference between Bhagavan, God with a capital G, and the Devatas or demigods. Firstly, the Devatas are many, but Supreme Lord is only one. Na dvitiya. No, not a second one. Whereas the Devatas, in fact, to run this universe, there are 33 crore Devatas. Principally 8, but under them, their secretaries and their subordinates and their subordinates to run their affairs, including all the, just like the government, one prime minister, so many MPs, under them so many MLAs and so many, you know, secretaries, many, just to run one little state like India, one country. You can imagine, to run the affairs of the whole universe, Department of Air, Department of Light, Department of Knowledge, Department of Wealth, Finance Ministry, right? So heat and energy dissipating, then there is water supply. So all these departments are held by certain Devatas, whereas the Supreme Lord is only one. Yeah. All the Devatas are described in the Bhagavad Gita to be part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord is the complete whole. Just like this finger is a part of the body, and the finger's duty is to serve the body by picking up the food and putting it into the belly. The toes are also part of the body, but they are all meant to serve the whole. Tad Vishnoh paramam padam sada pashyanti surayah. Sura means the Devatas. It is described in the Rig Veda, Tad Vishnoh paramam padam sada pashyanti surayah. All the Devatas, all the 33 crore Devatas, are always looking at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. The Devatas always worship the Supreme as obedient servants, whereas the Supreme Lord is supremely worshipable. The Bhagavad describes Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutas Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi Vedai Sanga Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidusura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. This verse says Yam, whom Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Lord Shiva, and Marutaha, all these Devatas, etc., etc., Stunvanti Divyai Stavaihi. Stava means beautiful prayers. And what kind of prayers? Divyai Stavaihi. All these Devatas with folded hands are worshipping that Supreme. Vedai Sangha Padakramo Upanishadai Gayantiyam Samagaha. The Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajurvedas are all, and the Upanishads are all glorifying Him alone. Dhyana Avasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyantiyam Yogino. All the yogis in the deepest meditation of theirs are meditating on him within the core of their hearts as Paramatma. Yasyantam, the end of whose glories na vidu. Nobody knows the end of his glories. He is so powerful. No one can ever understand how powerful, how glorious he is. Na vidu who? Sura asura gana. No one, even the suras and the asuras, even the topmost devatas, even they can't understand the end of his glories. He is so glorious. He is so famous. He is so powerful. These are the scriptural statements which establish the Lord as the supremely worshipable Lord. We find whenever some big Rakshasa like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha started troubling, then all the devatas go to Brahma. And Brahma along with everyone else says, even I can't handle this. Let us go to Kshira Sagara and worship the Supreme Lord. And the Lord says, all right. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I have given you all powers, you handle. But when you can't handle, when someone creates so much disturbance that none of these devatas can handle it and they cry out in help, then the Lord personally descends. Yuge yuge. He comes down again and again. What does he do? Paritranaya sadhunam. Protects all the devatas who are running the affairs of the universe on his behalf. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. And he punishes those miscreants, however powerful they are. No devatas can do anything to these powerful demons. But the Lord comes and just annihilates them like a mosquito, you know. Off. Swapping off the face of earth. And dharma sansthapanarthaya re-establishes the principles of religion. All the devatas are created by the Supreme, but he is the Supreme Creator, created by none. He exists since time immemorial. In fact, he has created everyone. Originally, he created Brahma, the first created being within this universe. And Brahma, empowered by the Lord, creates all devatas. Therefore, Brahma is called Pitamaha. Pitamaha means the father, grandfather. But the Supreme Lord is called Prapitamaha. He is the father of the grandfather. Therefore, the Lord is called Padmanabha. Another name for Vishnu or Krishna is Padmanabha. From his nabhi comes a padma, a lotus, from his navel. And on that navel is situated Lord Brahma. Therefore, Brahma has no mother. He is called Swayambhu. He is manifested on his own. The Lord does not require some help from his wife to create a child. He simply thinks and the lotus manifests from his navel and Brahma is created, who further creates everything. He is the engineer of this universe. And he in turn is created by the Supreme Lord. This material creation is called Brahmanda. Brahma anda. Anda means egg. This universe is in the shape of an egg. And there are different planetary systems. The topmost planet, Lord Brahma, is there. And then Swargaloka, Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha, Swargaloka, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, Brahmaloka. These are higher realms of existence where these devatas reside. But from Brahma to the down lowest Patala Loka, all of these people are within the material creation. But the Lord is beyond this material creation.
त्रिभिर गुणमयैर भावैर एभि सर्वमिदं जगत मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परम अव्ययम्। आई एम अबव ऑल ऑफ दिस, एवरीवन इज विद इन दिस ब्रह्मांड, ऑल द 33 crore देवतास, बट द लॉर्ड इज बियॉन्ड दिस मेटीरियल क्रिएशन, ही इज नॉट इन दिस क्रिएशन, ही इज आउटसाइड दिस प्लेस। दैट्स फॉर ही डिसेंड समटाइम्स, दैट इज कॉल्ड अवतार। अव मीन्स डिसेंड, तरण मीन्स टू मूव अबाउट। Sometimes he descends and into this material world. Otherwise he is above this material creation. So all the devatas exist, and because they exist within this material creation, the rules, the laws of nature applies to them also. But that does not apply to the Supreme Lord. Next. So the devatas are delegated with various grades of power to manage the affairs of the universe. Surya is empowered to control heat and light of the universe. Then there is Varuna, who is in charge of the water bodies. Then there is Indra, in charge of rain. Then there is Vayu, in charge of air. Agni, who is in charge of fire all over the universe. So these are all various departments, and they are given lot of power. But the supreme controller is the Supreme Lord. In this regard, there is a beautiful story in the incident in the Upanishad. Once all these devatas were sitting very proud of their power, and as they were boasting their power, an old brahmana walked into the assembly. Nobody recognized who this brahmana is. So they asked him, "Who are you?" So the brahmana asked, "Who are you?" It was very insulting. If you go to the prime minister and say, "Who are you?" It's an insulting. He's the only man all over, the whole of nation is the first man. So they got insulted. So first Agni came. So he said, "I am Agni." So the old brahmana said, "Oho, what can you do?" He said, "You fool, you don't know what I can do. I can burn the whole universe to ashes." He said, "Oh." He took a piece of dry grass, one trina, one dry grass, kept it there, and he said, "You burn this?" Insulting. So Agni, smiling, he just blew. Surprisingly, nothing happened to the piece of dry grass. It was still there. With all the power he could gather, he started blowing to the fullest extent. At the end of it, he saw that that piece of grass remained as it is. He bent his head, went back. Then came Vayu. So this old brahmana said, "Who are you?" "I am Vayu." "Oh, what can you do?" "I can blow everything away." "Really? Blow this piece of grass." He also started. Imagine, 160 kilometers per hour, and sometimes even buildings fly away. He was blowing the wind at the best of his abilities. But the piece of grass would not move. Then he bent his head down in shame. Fell at the feet of this old brahmana and said, "You are not an ordinary brahmana. Please reveal yourself." Then the Supreme Lord revealed himself. And he said, "Please do not be ever proud." This is my translation, "of borrowed plumes." These devatas are empowered because they are given a position. It is a post. As long as you have that post, you have the power. If that person is taken away from that post, you have no power. Because originally all power, power comes from the Supreme Lord. In this way, the devatas became very humbled, and their feet, which was flying in the air, touched the ground. So all the devatas, all their powers, they are like the agents.
But the original supplier of all power is ultimately coming from Krishna. In fact, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga, it is called Vibhuti Yoga. There, in the end, Krishna says, last verse, 30th, 38th and 39th verse, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, Shrimadurjitameva va, Tattadeva avagachatvam, Mamatejom shasambhavam. O Arjun, wherever you see power, opulence, splendor, know it to be a tiny, insignificant fragment of my power. Ultimately, all the power, all beauty, everything that we see in this world to which we are attracted is ultimately coming from the Lord. Because of His mercy, someone is given beauty, someone is given little power, someone is given little fame. But if the main switch is off, everything is useless. He is like the original generator. These bulbs, fans, they are very nice. But if the main switch is off, they are useless. So therefore one should know, Balam balavatam chaham, I am the strength of the strong. Buddhir buddhimatam asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. In the 10th chapter, Krishna describes how all the power wherever you see is ultimately coming from me. Only foolish people don't see the original source and try to glorify the individual entities who are displaying that power. Therefore, God's another name is Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. Why is he all attractive? Because he is Bhagavan. We are attracted to someone who is little beauty. We are attracted to someone who is little wealthy. We are attracted to someone who is very famous. We want to stand beside him and take photograph and put it in our wall and say, you know, I know that person. He was my, you know, very close friend. We used to play cricket together, you know. So he's attractive and we want to be connected. So the original source of all is he. Therefore he's called Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. All the devatas are subordinate to the will of the Supreme, and the Lord is supremely independent. That means, just like a minister who is in charge of railways cannot poke his nose in other transport systems. One who is in charge of water and whatever development or irrigation development, he can't poke his nose in industry department. Every minister has his own area of functioning. And they can't act independently. They can't independently function. They are all ordered by higher authority. They have to report to a higher authority. Similarly, all these devatas, they have certain department. Within that they have to function. They have no power over other department. They are powerful in their own department. And they are all ultimately subordinate to the supreme will. The Lord has given certain rules. They can't go beyond the rules that has been set in the scriptures or set in the laws for them. Their powers are already given. You can do this, 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 this. You can't do beyond this. That is beyond your power. So all the devatas are extremely powerful from our point of view. We should not disrespect them. They are representatives of the Lord. But to think them as Lord, the Supreme, independent Lord, is foolishness. A constable should be respected because he is the representative of the government. If you slap the constable, indirectly you are slapping the government because you are slapping the representative of the government. But then that doesn't mean you garland the constable and say, you are the SP, you are the DSP, you are the commissioner, and you are the supreme government. He will say, what do you want? Why are you just, you know, glorifying me so much? So, yes, the devatas have power, but ultimately they are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Lord. We cannot disrespect them, but we should also know their limited powers, and we respect them accordingly. You may be very surprised to know that all the levatas, right from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant microbe, all have, like you and me, material bodies, and they are subject to birth, old age, disease and death. Ultimately, all the devatas have to die, including Lord Brahma. That's what Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamupetyatu Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. Arjuna, from the Brahma Loka down to the insignificant microbe, everyone has to undergo the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. Our Brahma is now 57 years old. His lifespan is very long. 43 lakhs of years into 2 into 1000 is his 12 hours. Half a day. Half a day of Brahma is 43 lakhs of our solar years into 2 into 1000. And if you multiply it by 2, 43 lakhs into 2 into 1000 years, that is his night. His night is of 12 hours and his day is of 12 hours. Who says this? The Bhagavad says, Bhagavad Gita says this. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano viduhu ratri yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidu janaha. So the devatas live a very, very long time. Lakhs of years. From our point of view, they are practically eternal. Amara. They are amara. But even they have to die ultimately. Therefore, they wanted to churn the ocean and get Amrit Manthan, part of which fell in Nasik. That's why Kumbh Mela people go. It fell in four places. When the nectar was churned, the demons came and wanted to attack, and the devatas wanted to take it. So Garuda came and grabbed it and brought it for the devatas. But when Garuda was getting it, four drops of Amrit spilled from there and fell on this planet Earth. It fell in Ujjain. Right now Kumbh Mela is going on there, in Haridwar, and then Nasik, and Allahabad, yeah, Prayag. Four drops fell. And once in 12 days of devatas, and in our case 12 years, that Amrit manifests. Therefore people go to take bath there to become eternal. So even the devatas want to drink Amrit to become eternal, because they know death is going to come. Of course, from our point of view, they live a long, long life. Incomparable. For practically for all reasons, they are amara. But all of them, including Brahma, their original source, even he has to die. And when he dies, that is the end of this universe. That is called Mahapralaya. There are tiny pralayas, then there is a Mahapralaya. Mahapralaya means when Brahma also dies. This is a big science, I don't want to go into detail, because that will take a long time. But suffice it to say that all these devatas are extremely powerful from our point of view, but even they have their own limitations. In a one day of Brahma, 14 times all the devatas change. Like our ministry changes after election. Every 5 years, all the representatives change. Similarly, all the devatas change in 14 into 43 lakhs into 2 into 1000 years. It's a long, long time. We just come and die, so like mosquitoes, you know, like ants being born and dying in 2 minutes. For devatas, we are like dying and born, insignificant. But for Brahma, devatas are born and devatas are gone. And for the Supreme Lord, Brahma is coming and also dying. They are very different realms of existence. You may say, this is too much. Huh? This is all mythology. It's not. Sometimes during rainy season, insects are born at 7 p.m. and they die at 2 a.m. Early morning, you see all the insects are dead. Their lifespan is 7 hours. And within that 7 hours, they are born, they grow up, they mature, they get married, they produce children, they dwindle and they die. For them, we are like Brahmas. And one insect may tell the other. There is one particular species called Homo sapien. Our whole lifetime is there 7 hours. And one atheistic insect may say, come on, this is all nonsense, I don't believe. It's a different realm of existence. Different species have different lifespans. The devatas come under the influence of the three material modes of different extent, but the Lord is completely beyond the influence. As I said, tribhir gunamayair bhavair ebhi sarvamidam jagat. You will find sometimes Brahma gets angry, sometimes Lord Shiva gets angry, sometimes he is also influenced by the mode of lust. He ran behind Mohini Murti. When Brahma created the four Kumaras, he ordered procreate children. His sons refused to get married. They wanted to become Brahmachari. Brahma got angry. He lost his balance. Why? Because Tamoguna, Rajo and Tamoguna, of course, their anger, their lust is not like our anger and lust. This is very, very, very high realm of existence. But still, they are touched by the Rajo and Tamoguna. But the Supreme Lord, even though he is within the world, he is never touched. Generally in this Ramayana serial, you may find Vishnu always smiling. Something happens. Sometimes he gets angry and shoots arrows. Then you say, why? That is why it is called Leela. Leela means this is his drama. He is above. He never gets. He understands. He knows everything, past, present and future. Therefore, it is his Leela. He is always smiling at everything and saying, oh, it's all right. But other people get totally involved. You know, why he's doing this? They get lusty, they get angry, they get greedy. Especially Indra, we find. He's become so greedy sometimes to power. He gets so angry, someone is doing more austerity. He sends his damsels, Ramba, Urvashi and Menaka, to make them fall down so that otherwise, you know, his power will be snatched by someone. So, they get influenced by the three modes, Raja, Sattva and Tamoguna. But the Supreme Lord is Triguna Atita. Triguna Atita is beyond the three modes of nature. Nothing of this world can influence or affect him. He is totally beyond all the influences of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, etc. This is another very shocking thing. When I first came to Krishna consciousness and I heard the Bhagavad Gita, I was shocked to know that the devatas are also temporary posts. Every manvantara, all the devatas change. Surya is a post. Did you know that? It is currently occupied by a person whose name is Vivaswan. Indra is a post. Indra is not a person. Indra is a post. It is occupied by a person whose name is Purandara. And in the next millennium, there's not going to be election for the post of Indra. It's already decided. 14 people are decided already. The next Indra will be Bali Maharaj, who is now in the Sutala Loka. He's already fixed. Next Indra is already selected. Of course, this Indra lives for, as I said, 43 lakhs into 2 into 1000 into 14. If you have a computer, you can calculate, and if it can, all the number can come. That digit can come. This is their lifespan. But after that, their post change and another person occupies. Currently, the post of Chandraloka is occupied by a person whose name is Soma. So these are all posts. They occupy for a long, long time. For us, they are as good as eternal life. But from Brahma's point of view, 14 days, I mean in his day, 14 times all the devatas change. In one day of Brahma. This is all universal politics. We are so busy in panchayat politics and, you know, Indian politics. We are not concerned about universal politics. We have enough to occupy our heads, especially during election time. But then we don't understand, within this cosmic manifestation, there are so many things going on. We are totally oblivious. Ignorance is bliss, in that sense. But the Lord is supremely the eternal being. It's not that there is election and Krishna is going to be changed and tomorrow somebody else will come. God will be changed. No, He is eternal. Anadi Adi. Now, this we discussed about the difference between the Devatas and Bhagavan. Now, let us discuss another aspect. The worship of the Devatas and worship of Bhagavan. What is the difference? Firstly, in the 7th chapter, 23rd verse, Krishna says, those who worship the Devatas are considered Alpa Medhasa. Alpa means less and Medhasa means intelligence. While the Srimad Bhagavatam says, anyone who worships the Supreme Lord is Udaradhi. Udara means very broad-minded. Person who worships the Devata is narrow-minded and the person who worships the Supreme Lord is broad-minded. Why? Why is it considered like that? Next. 1 minute, no. Yeah. It is described in the same verse. Antavattu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedhasam devan devayajoyanti madbhaktayanti mamapi. Why does Lord Krishna call the worshippers of the Devatas as less intelligent? Antavattu phalam tesham. Because they asked for some benefits which is very paltry, which is temporary, and which is going to be finished at the time of death. Generally, people go to the Devatas. Please, Lord, pass me my exam. Suddenly, during March, April, so many people start going to temple. And May, when there is vacation to going to temple also. Because job is done, wait till the results. And if that result doesn't work out, we will go to other fellow. This fellow didn't work, we'll try that one. So, antavattu phalam. They asked for some paltry benefit. Give me, pass my exam. Or, give me a son, give me a daughter, give me a wife, give me a good husband, give me some wealth, remove the problem in my business. And once it is removed, some other problem comes, again they go. They have generally a list of things. Why is it less intelligent? Because they are asking for something which is ultimately going to be finished at the time of death. But those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they ask for only one thing. They ask for eternal life of loving service. They don't ask for anything else. They ask for eternal life of loving service to the Supreme Lord. That is intelligence. Not asking for something. Today you will ask, tomorrow that goes away, then you ask for something more. Then you ask for something more. So one should not ask for something which is anyway going to be taken away after a few years. Whether you want it or not, it will be taken away. You ask for name, you ask for fame, you ask for wealth, you ask for things of this world. Everything, as we have already discussed, is temporary and will make you miserable in the end. Therefore, Gita calls them as less intelligent. Whereas the people who approach the benefits. No, 1 minute. Yeah, correct. The benefits that are given by the Supreme Lord are eternal. Na iha abhikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate. whatever you acquire from the Lord, Supreme Lord, is eternally to your credit. Whereas anything that you take from the Devatas, which is material, that's going to be finished at the time of death. You can't carry it beyond. But the benefits of the Supreme Lord are eternal. That is the difference. It's just like if you have a scratch, if you have an itch, and you tell your friend, kindly scratch it, and your friend scratches it. It's a very nice feeling. But after some time, you will get double itch. And then that fellow will scratch too much. Then you get one more itch, longer itch, little more. Ultimately, because of scratching, there is a wound and bleeding. And now again you get an itch. If you scratch, there is pain. If you don't scratch, there is misery. Similarly, material desires for things are, you ask for it, you get it, but you have more problems. Tasmai Shri